Hey guys, be a part of the Bob Culture Podcast by supporting me on Patreon.com. That's Patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives.
Hi kids, this is Krusty, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast with your host, Rob Crother. How much do you get paid for this? That's it?
Everybody, welcome to episode 37 of the Bob Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Man, and we are joined by a really awesome band on the local scene. Of course, we're here to peep the new album, Blacked Out, talk about two killer shows, including the CD release show at the Brighton Bar coming up May 12th. Ladies and gentlemen, I am joined by Sean, the Rock Doc David, Steven, and Drew, of course, on drums. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Out of Bounds. Boys, how are you?
Hey, how's it
going?
What's
up, everyone? Everything's good.
Everything's good. That's what I like to hear, guys. Thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with this crazy drummer over here.
Yeah, no problem, man.
And before we talk about the album, because I'm really excited to talk about that, I want to hear about the band's origin story, you know? Did a meteor hit the earth?
Pretty much. Yeah. It started off as a... Steve, tell us.
It started as an adult rock shop. So I was playing bass, and the guy that was doing lessons at the store, there wasn't many people doing lessons. So then one of the guys came and asked me, he says, would you be willing to play bass in a band? I'm like, all right. I didn't have any aspirations to play in a band. I'm like, you know what, I'll give it a try. Cool. You know, I'll take my skills to the next level. I'll learn a little bit faster. So then I met David, and then they set us up with a guitar player and a singer and a drummer. And then
what was his name?
At the store. We would rehearse right in the store. So we would go and do like a rock shop session just like the kids would do. We're all adults, and they would teach us a bunch of songs. We set a song list of all songs that we liked. And then we actually performed with the teacher. He was in a band, so we actually opened for him. So he got us on stage, and it was a pretty cool experience. But through that original experience, you know, just Dave and I are the original members of that rock shop.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Sean came in to kind of jam and hang out and bring his voice. And that was it. It took off after that.
Nice. How long have you guys been a band?
2.5 years.
Two and a half years. Awesome.
So what happened was my son decided he wanted to be a rock and roll drummer and not necessarily go to school. So we formed the band to kind of get that out of his system.
And I remember seeing him on drums.
Yeah.
At a show.
So
yeah, yeah.
After a couple of weeks, we got involved with the rock carnival for It was a battle of the bands kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we did really well. When I said there was like, you're going to play 7 songs. I'm like, all right, that's cool. He doesn't go to hang up. He's like, yeah, 5 originals and 2 covers. We'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I wrote 5 songs. We played those, and then we did well, and we went to the next round, wrote some more songs, and we ended up playing at the Rock Carnival, and that was an amazing experience.
Oh, nice.
They didn't tell me I was coming in to kick the other guitarist and carry his shit out to his car. But that's what
happened. Oh, yeah. that's another.
Steve and I just come over. Steve's like, I'm not even going to bring a stack to practice, you know?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Then I was in, and that was it for him, I guess.
And it turns out one of those original songs that we wrote for the Rock Carnival is on this album.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, really?
Coming was one of those first songs that we wrote.
No kid. Little known trivia right there. All right, cool. Awesome. Before we talk about the album, I always like to ask all the bands that come on this. I have some guesses just based on the album and the songs I've heard, but, you know, everyone usually has different influences. But I guess individually first, what are you guys, I guess we'll start with Steven. What are your guys' influences, like, band-wise?
We have an eclectic mix, you know.
Which is great, which is usually great.
You know, I grew up with Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath,
nice.
Ozzy, you know, even... Duran Duran, I had a little bow to him because I would listen to Taylor ripping on bass all the time. So I kind of loved that
nice.
Style of music. But then I just progressed into more heavier stuff. And then it was, of course, Metallica and Slayer. You know, now I'm into bands like Incubus and Kings of Leon. And so there's a little bit of everything that we're all into. You know, Soundgarden fan.
Oh,
crazy.
Classic, man. I just listened to the album. I heard some Metallica, maybe some Ozzy in there. Just you know, off the top of my head. How about you, David? Who do you like listening to?
Well, man? I started off. I was a big Yes fan and King Crimson and things like that. And as I got older, I got more into heavier stuff. And then
nice.
These guys, forget it. Sean corrupted me, and we went more into heavier metal stuff like that. Stone Temple I like a lot. You can hear a lot of the influences in the album with that.
Yeah.
Alice in Chains. Black Label Society, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Sure, yeah, absolutely. Sean, how about you, man?
Yeah, I was like, you know, one of four, youngest of four, so I had Raiden, the Beatles, Zeppelin, you know, all the
classic. Brothers,
yeah, all that stuff. And then, you know, child of the 80s, so then I went, you know, high school was all my metal days, you know, Maiden, Sabbath. Yeah, I'm just all over the place.
That's a good way to grow up, man. Yeah, some great bands you listed. How about you, Drew? Like drum heavy stuff or just what did you like?
Sean took the words out of my mouth. It's pretty much ditto, you know.
Yeah.
And then as time progressed, Mother Love Bone fan, all kinds of music.
Nice, man.
Just always evolving, always changing.
And that's the best way to be. A little bit of everything, you know. But I definitely heard a lot of influence from a lot of the bands you guys listed on the album for sure. So let's talk about the album. First and foremost, I got to ask you guys, tell us about the CD name, Blacked Out.
Oh, okay. So we have a bunch of drum tracks on there from Jeff Fab, who helped us out, from Black Label Society.
Shout out.
JD from Black Label Society, the bass player. He did. He produced it and really put his heart and soul into helping us and kind of really guiding us on what to do and how to do it. So we took the name Black from Black Label Society and Out of Bounds, put it together, and got Blacked Out.
It's perfect. And what a great story. And plus, you guys are kind of paying tribute to them. I'm sure that's like kind of a nod to them, obviously, and thank you.
Absolutely.
And Sean went to high school with JD.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
Little
yeah, so my claim to fame was the 8th grade talent show. He was sick, and I played bass. How about that? Huh?
Yeah. Nice, yeah.
Like Green Man Alishi, Sin City, and I think Breaking the Law or something. Yeah, yeah.
Great story. That's awesome. And another question I always like to ask the bands, because this is always hard, man, when you're recording an album, and, you know, some people go for, like, kind of a concept, or some people just, you know, every track is just kind of its own thing. But that album art, that's always hard to, like, kind of come up with, and everyone has different ideas. So how'd you guys come up? Who did the album art, and how did that come
about?
Well,
here's a shout-out. It's an 18-year-old girl, my good buddy Mark Rosenthal, his daughter Stephanie Rosenthal, was an art major. She did it, and it was a concept I came up with because of Blacked Out. I originally wanted to get somebody holding a candle and lighting their face up with a skull. So that's how we got Angel, the skull angel.
Nice. That's
so
awesome.
She put the blonde hair and the wings on it, and so that's it. It's actually holding a candle in a blackout.
Awesome. Very cool. Now tell me, I guess you guys kind of got into this a little bit already, but I'm always interested to hear. Tell me about the writing process. Is there one person that writes things, you know? I mean, I guess I see you throw up, David, a lot of those guitar riff videos, so I'm guessing it starts there would be my guess.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which
are really cool to watch.
It's very funny because a couple songs I sing, but mostly when I write it, I write it for the band. So I kind of know where Steve is, where his pocket is, get a feeling for where Drew's dynamic playing comes in, and then I write for Sean's voice. He has an amazing voice, so I know where his vocal range is. And then other than that,
oh, interesting.
It's usually Thursday nights when I come home from work. My wife goes to sleep, and I'll just write a couple of tunes and takes it from there. We have an interesting story about Selfish, where I was on a plane, and there was the girl who sits next to me, very nice-looking girl. We start talking. Then her steroided-out boyfriend sits down next, and they put on their headphones, and they play watching a football game, literally screaming the whole way at the screen on the flight. So that's how Selfish came out. It was really me watching them act that way and how selfish they were to everybody else on the plane.
Interesting. Okay. And I have another question, kind of a little bit more about the writing process.
Sure.
But I guess lyric, you know, you write the lyrical content, a lot of the riffs, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? You bring it to band practice, you know, you say you write,
yeah,
you know, show
I'll write
it to
the song and bring it to band practice, and everybody sprinkles their own bits and parts in it. Sean is amazing at writing harmonies.
Great.
And vocal parts. So it's really cool. And Drew adds his specific style on drums, which really adds a lot. And Steve adds a mega bass parts in there to keep things moving along.
Nice. Do you guys find, like, drum and bass kind of lock in quickly, or do you guys kind of play
we
off
We lock
each other?
In, and then a lot of, like, what I'm playing is kind of shadowing what these guys playing in the lower octave range.
Yeah, I guess
you know,
that makes,
just to fill the entire song up.
Totally. Bass is such an important instrument.
Any arrangements can take any kind of direction. We'll start with something, you know.
Absolutely.
Totally. We're having some fun over here. David got into this a little bit. Where does the, just from a lot of the bands I've interviewed, where does the content come from lyrically? You know, I know some people have said fantasy. I know a lot of people say real life. It sounds to me like that's just like real life.
I've got some miles on me. I've had a rough, I've been on my own since I was 17.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. No kidding. So I've been through a lot in my life. So I have a lot to draw from. When I was younger in a band back in the day, it'd be like, you know, the sky is blue. I love you. How do you do? Now it's a little darker. I draw from previous relationships. I'm on my second marriage. So now the second time, that's where the fun stuff comes. Like, You Still Hold My Heart.
That's where I was going with this.
That's from that. Maybe Bleeding Away is from some other relationships that you feel where person is, you're trying your best, you're doing what you can, but they're just taking pieces of you and it's just flowing out, and you get to a point where you just can't, you're not going to survive it.
Awesome. I think that's a perfect segue. Guys, let's take a listen to You Still Hold My Heart, and then I got some more questions about that song. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen, from the Blacked Out album, Out of Bounds, You Still Hold My Heart. That was You Still Hold My Heart by Out of Bounds. Of course, we'll shamelessly plug the album soon enough.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
We're all about the shameless plugs here on the Bob Culture Podcast.
We're on iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. All right, but tell me about this song, David. I know you were getting into it a little bit. My guess it has something to do with a relationship.
Yeah, I actually wrote that one for my wife. She's really been there for me, supporting the band, my kids, everything. And I just took a moment and was thinking about how special she is and the relationship was, and that's how that came out. And with Sean's voice, it just takes it to another level.
Awesome. Smart man. Good job out of you, man.
Brownie points.
There you go.
Yeah. Good track. Is that the first track on the CD?
That is the first track.
I thought so, yeah. That's a good way to open it up. Really cool. And we'll get to another track. You guys are kind enough to share two tracks with me, so we'll be sharing those with everybody. But I want to talk about the recording process. We talked about the writing process. You guys got any funny stories from the studio or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I think we all have some good stories.
Yeah. But I guess my first question is, where did you record, and did you guys do it like, did you lay down the drums first, usual spiel? Did you guys do scratch tracks, demos, anything like that? Yeah, I mean, where'd you guys go, and you know, who hit the gas pedal first?
Well, Dave, you open up, you start with the scratch track, and baseline it there, and then, you know.
We did it at John DeServio's house. He's got a whole full studio.
Okay.
And, cool. Yeah, so we went there, and him and Jeff Fab were there, and I'm looking like, oh my God, I gotta play in front of these guys, and it was really nerve-wracking. JD's
a little extra pressure, yeah.
Half of Black Label's in the room.
Yeah, it's like holy crap. And then Mike Thompson was there, did sound for the guitar work. He is an excellent engineer. He's doing sound for Black Label's tour. It was very different than what I expected. I thought I was gonna get in there and, all right, this is great, we'll just knock it out. I got my ass kicked. But it was a great learning process. JD was very specific in what he wanted us to play and how we wanted to play it, and challenged everybody in the band, and everybody stepped up, and especially Drew. I mean, Drew came in, the album was already 5/7 done, and he came in and just knocked it out of the park. He really busted his hump in a very short amount of time to jump into the band and take over and really do a great job.
That's awesome.
Because we were drummerless for a while. You know, when David's son Danny went back to school, we didn't have a drummer. So we were trying some drummers out. So then we had the opportunity to go in the studio. And then just so happens that Jeff was in town that we were able to get him to throw a couple tracks down.
That worked out nicely.
Good. Worked out great.
And
good
then Drew came on board, and, you know, we've been sailing ever since.
Did you record on the album at all? Did you do drum tracks as well?
Yeah, the last two tracks on there.
Nice.
I took it lightly, I'm not going to lie, and I got my butt kicked when I got my head handed, you know. But
that's what everyone's saying. Now. We're like, yeah, so there was some pressure in the studio. Like, this is interesting.
I think I was going to give up guitar and pick up triangle, but then...
which is a very important issue.
Then JD said, yeah, well, why don't you try playing that and fuck it in time?
Yeah, exactly. But that's interesting, like, coming at it from, like it's almost like a performance... you know, like you guys are playing in front of people, you know, like there's always a little bit of pressure when you're in the studio, you know, but, you know, I guess some people get locked in, like, you know,
I think the person who had the best attitude was Sean. He went in there and just knocked out the vocals.
Oh, I'm sensing some band love. We get a lot of this on the podcast, little band love. Go ahead.
I said it was like being in JD's basement in high school again. And it was just like the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
It looks a little different now than 20 years ago, but yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty comfortable because we were so tight growing up, you know. So
all right, yeah, a little more comfortable.
I mean, he's
still
on your perfectionist, like Dave said, but you know,
which is important when you're recording for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing when you work with somebody who really, you know, he does all the Black Label albums, and he just there was a song we were doing RU where we was going through it, and as a transition, he's like, "You need a ramp chord right there. Put in the chord, perfect. It just sounded amazing." So it's really. We were very blessed to be able to work with all these very professional people who could guide us in our first album.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. What was the hardest part? Would you say like vocals? Usually
for me, vocals.
No, I mean just like on the amount of takes. Like usually vocals take the longest, and it's like a process, you know. A
couple solos you were getting.
There's some intense solo work in that. So the solo for Coming, which has a lot of hammer-ons and pull-offs, and that took me about an hour and a half to really just lock it down the way I wanted to do it.
And you rewrote that, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
We used to play it differently. Then you rewrote it to go back in the studio.
And I kept about three – I told JD I want to do some sweep stuff. So it took 3 weeks off to learn the technique the way I wanted to learn it. And then went back and did the recording. And it was well worth the wait.
Awesome. Click track or no click track? I always click like to ask. Click track.
Absolutely,
keep it,
yeah.
Keep it locked in, yeah.
We got beat with it.
Yeah. Oh, that was a thing.
Yeah,
huh?
Got raped by the click track, yeah.
which we learned how to incorporate that into our practice due to the studio experience,
right?
Because we never really played with the click track all the time.
Oh, dude, do you guys do like in ear monitors, or you just throw on a click and then you play the song? Like
we're practicing, and then we'll pull it off from there. Go to like rehearse.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I always ask bands stuff like that. Because like Dave Grohl said something like that, you know, you want to get things perfect, but you also want to have that human element too, right? That imperfection as well. So I always like to ask bands that. Like we do the click track as well. You know, we've been playing the same songs. We have some new stuff now, but they'll throw on, you know, I need the BPM. I got a click track in my ear and I'm good to go. I don't need, you know, ready to go. So I'm always interested to see how everyone.
Screw the bassist, just need a click
no,
track.
No, it's not even like that. You know, it's just like, I just need to be. You know, and it does get annoying when you get that click, you know, but you need to be in the zone sometimes. And, you know, like even on drums and stuff, you know, you'll hit a rim instead of a snare or a rim shot.
Exactly.
You hit the wrong part of the cymbal. I actually just bought one of those Zill bells or whatever to mess with that.
Oh,
a little
saw
bit.
That.
Yeah, I got to fall in love with it. So I'm going to try some things, but I hear a lot of opinions. But anyway, it's tricky, you know, or, you know, you miss a string or something breaks or. You know, it's frustrating. You guys got any funny stories from the studio or anything like that?
Oh, we got a funny story. Not enough for the studio, for one of our gigs with Drew and a drumstick. Why don't you tell that story, Drew?
That was brutal. I show up with just a pair of sticks because we're only doing three songs. It was a charity event.
Okay, I understand.
At the Wonder
okay.
Bar. Yeah.
I don't bring my stick bag. And what happens? Was it the first or second song?
First song.
I lose the stick and I can't find it. We're scattered all over the stage, and then we managed to pull off an extra song on top of that.
And I'm looking,
time.
And I'm looking around trying to help him find the stick. And
isn't
I'm cruising around the bass, looking. Yeah. I'm looking, and I hear that the drum beat's coming. It's off, so I'm trying to like go a little bit heavier on the bass just to keep up with everything. Couldn't find the stick.
Yeah.
Good thing the sound engineer looked and seen where the stick went and went behind him.
Yeah.
That's where the guitarists come in and lay down some guitar work while they're looking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going to step up now. Yeah, exactly.
You weren't Andrew. You were one Drew that night.
Yeah. Ah.
You know what? The funny thing is, it was a great night. And anytime something tragic happens back there behind the kid, it's usually a good night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's a great story, you know? That's awesome. So two things. Now, Drew, do you have a stick bag now? And also,
is it fully loaded?
I know he's. I got to do the shameless plug, but now I know he's using Cooper Grooves. So I'm guessing you weren't using Cooper Grooves that night.
No, I did not.
So there you go. But get that stick bag, man. That's a.
No, I got
that's
the bag.
He's ready to go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had a whole. Everything was all set up. The drums were set up. The amps were set
oh,
up.
Oh,
so
I
we
got
just
you.
Plugged
yeah,
in.
So I understand.
So we just did a quick 15
So when I asked
minutes.
Dave, what do I need? Just sticks. Okay, I took it literally.
Brought
I
just
sticks.
Yeah.
Sticks.
There you go.
You need two pair.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for all the drummer jokes here. All right. Let's, well, you know what? Let's talk about Bleeding Away before we get in the track. We're going to do it the other way. Tell us, did David, you wrote the lyrics for that one?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the content of Bleeding
it's
Away?
It's actually the total flip side to You Still Hold My Heart.
Okay.
It's about a song where I wrote it about a relationship I was in that just absolutely destroyed me for 2 years. I was actually
Oof.
In a relationship for longer than that, but every day I felt like a piece of me was being taken out and I was drained, and I got to the point where it was either sink or swim. I had to just walk away from it for my own self-worth.
Wow, that's like what a great lead, and I'm going to leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a listen to Bleeding Away from Out of Bounds.
Can you stop this painful rush of the
that was Bleeding Away, of course, from Out of Bounds. Guys, really good tracks that you sent me. Thanks for sharing them with everybody. Real quick, let's talk about your upcoming show, of course, at Dingbats. That's this Friday, right?
Yeah, it's this Friday.
And that's with Don Jameson from That Metal Show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've played with him a couple of times, and he's going to be hosting a metal record release party also. Great guy.
We've seen him at a lot of our shows here and there. Is he? He's a nice guy.
He's really nice. Yeah, yeah. He's very cool.
That sounds like a good time. And then of course you got the big show, the CD release show May 12th.
Yeah, we're very very excited about that. Don will be hosting that. JD, if he's back from tour, he'll be coming in for that. We'll actually have the artist who did the cover there. We're going to be playing for about an hour 15 to an hour and a half for that show.
Playing the whole album?
Yeah, we're going to play the whole album. We're breaking out stuff from we wrote from the Rock Carnival and we wrote since. We have a lot of newer stuff we've been writing, including a song called Painful Kiss that Sean sounds like Chris Cornell. It's phenomenal.
Wow, that is one of the nicest things I've heard a band member say about another band member. That is a compliment. Wow. Yeah,
I try to keep it kind of, you know, I'm all over the place voice-wise. You know, Godsmack, Cornell. Sully Cornell, you know. So.
AC/DC.
My wheelhouse.
Nice. Not to get off topic, but speaking of AC/DC, you know, we were chatting a little bit off air here, and I guess you're telling me a little about the bagpipes coming in at some of your shows. Tell me about this.
A gentleman who's an amazing guy. I met him through Sean. Can you talk about Richie?
Yeah, he's basically a piper for the, you know, fire and police, Middlesex County. So
cool.
St. Patrick's Day Parade. So that kind of, you know.
His name is Richie?
Yeah, so I was in a cover band for 10 years. So he kind of worked his way into that. And we're just kind of, you know, we've been together ever since, you know. So that turned into A Long Way to the Top.
Here. Yeah, so he comes in when we play that. He comes out and just knocks it out of the park.
Whose idea was it to do that track?
We just were tossing around some
songs. Yeah, Sean has that voice. So we play a couple of tracks on that, and Sean suggested, hey, I know this guy. Can we bring him in? And took off from there.
There's not many rock and roll bagpipe songs either. Yeah. So a very small pool to select from.
And he comes full tilt, the kilt, everything, you know.
As Sean is wearing a Dropkick Murphy shirt, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically there. That's awesome. Here's a stupid question. You don't mic the bagpipes, do you?
We do.
You do, man.
Oh,
you
yeah,
do.
Absolutely.
You do. They're
absolutely.
Loud, I guess. But I don't even know how that works. But yeah, that's pretty interesting.
You're not getting the bass stacks, but you're getting his main horn.
Okay. I know nothing about it, but that sounds awesome. He says there's a video.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's on YouTube. If you just check out of Bounds of Stone Pony or Out of Bounds
Starland.
Yeah, it's all over the place, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm getting off topic here. But again, May 12th, the big CD release show, and that's closer to me. I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah, it's down Brighton Long Bar. Branch. Can't wait.
Always have, you know, one of our favorite places to play. We play there all the time.
The sound is awesome.
Yeah, the sound guys, they do a good job over there. Cool. And, of course, you guys will be selling the CD there.
Selling the CD, shirts,
saw some shirts lying around here.
Guys
working on paraphernalia.
Nice girly shirts, too.
Oh, wow. All right, that's all. Did I hear you say download cards?
Yeah, we have some download cards also. You can buy the CD and a download card, whatever is more convenient for people.
Awesome.
And we're also, as I said before, we're on iTunes and Spotify and CD Baby. So,
Out of Bounds, guys, check them out. I always like to ask bands this. We were talking about this a little bit already. Just very in general, what are you guys' thoughts on the local scene? You know, is it oversaturated with bands? You know, a lot of people have problems with certain promoters and policies. What do you guys think about the venues? What do you think about people coming out? Just anything. What do you guys think about the local scene?
I think it's vibrant in Jersey, and it's coming back a bit. It's hard with the venues. Everybody wants you to sell tickets, and they want a certain amount of tickets, and then you're asking friends and neighbors eight times. I mean, we have a good following, but it can be difficult sometimes if you have a lot of shows. We had a couple of years ago when we first started out, we did like 14 shows in a very short amount of time, and you know, at the end of it, it was like, look, I just saw you eight times, can you can you come out again?
Good point. Yeah,
it's difficult but there's also, I mean, I love the scene. There's so many great bands out there, younger bands, older bands. We're a kick because, you know, we're not 20, so when we come out, and people don't expect to hear that type of sound coming out.
Have it real just random off topic. Have you guys like always played in bands or?
I haven't played in a band in 20-something, 30 years.
Yeah.
So I just picked the guitar back up just before the band at the Rock Shop, and then this has all been Steve and I, and then the and Sean and Drew coming in. So
you guys are killing it already. Yeah, I mean, you guys are killing it.
I did the pop cover thing for about 10 years. You know, girl singer, all that stuff. So
gotcha.
I've been
okay
around for a while. Yeah. So
cool.
I was out for a while as well. Picked up the sticks, and here I am. Dave roped me into this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I actually had an ad on Craigslist, and I was looking to get together with like a hair metal band, and Dave answered the ad, says,
"But I have no hair."
Yeah.
Ah.
Says, "Come on over. You may like it." And sure enough, here I am.
And I got involved late into music, and I was always a bass player by ear. I never picked up the instrument. And then my daughter's going to be 8 years old, and I found that after we had our child, I had some free time at nighttime. I got tired of watching TV. Went to Guitar Center, bought some stuff. My wife came home and goes, "What the hell's wrong with you? I bought all this stuff." And I learned how to play. I just figured I...
Self-taught?
About 9 months I did it on my own, then I started to go for lessons, but I'm relatively new. I picked it up at 38 years old.
Oh, good for you.
You know, so it was on my bucket list, and you know, it just now my mind is straight that I can focus and learn. And these guys have been playing since they were little kids, and
yeah,
I'm
but you have
able
to, also
able to hang with them.
Realize that, you know, he was taking lessons from JD. So.
Yeah, I was taking lessons from JD. I was working with John Thompson for a while, who worked with Jaco Pastorius. So these are some guys that are just amazing bass players, and I'm just trying to absorb as much as I can. So
yeah, we're a new genre. It's called bald metal.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
To be doing this now is something I never even thought of.
Yeah. That's a great. That's the name of the next CD, I think.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, sorry, getting off topic. But any other thoughts on the local scene? Pretty much covered it, or
it's certainly changed. I know when I was younger, I used to always go to bars, and you know, I grew up with like Birch Hill and Fastlane.
Oh,
these places
you said
were
the keyword,
they
Birch
were
Hill.
Packed. You went there, they were packed, and you're not seeing these houses that are filled like they used to be. Whether it's people have changed. The music has changed. People don't want to go out. They want to stay home, look at their phone, watch it on a computer.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
As compared to going and experiencing live music. And even when people are there, you even see people are disconnected. They're staring at their telephone. You know, we've seen Slash, and these girls are standing there the whole entire time at Starland Ballroom, and they're just taking pictures of themselves. Like, you got one of the best guitarists in the world standing a foot away from us. Watch the guy play. Don't stare at your stupid phones. And
it's crazy.
I think that's changed a lot.
I think also the venues have changed. Years ago, venues had flyers, had people who would go out and really advertise for the venue. Now the venues are relying on promoters a lot more to bring in the money. So if you're going to schedule four bands, how many people can those four bands? Well, each one has to bring in 20, 30 people. They're not really supporting their own venue, so it's very difficult for them.
It's a great point. Great point.
You know, it should be run like a business, and unfortunately, a lot of the venues aren't really running it the way to make the maximum amount of money and bring the maximum amount of people. And also, food, drinks, support, people staying there. So what happens a lot is one band comes in, their fans go out, next band comes in, next band goes out.
Correct.
So, yes, they're getting money from that, but they're not really building. Like Birch Hill, you'd go, and people would go to Birch Hill because it was Birch Hill.
Yeah.
And you'd be there all night. Now and then they had that dance club, too, so you would like go to the metal crew,
the 50s
and they walk across
the
other
condo.
And then they go to the dance club. That they had a cool little scene there.
Yeah.
On a different note, though, I think the music scene now is different than back then. I like it now because there's a lot more original bands. And when I was younger,
true,
all the bands we ever saw, they were just cover bands. There really weren't that many original bands like today. Today, it's I think it's fun. You know, when you go out, we meet all kinds of different bands, all kinds of different people, and they're great.
Dude, yeah, I mean, I couldn't say it any better. There's, you know, I think some people say sometimes the scene's a little oversaturated, but we live in such a cool area, like the Jersey Shore, you know, Asbury Park, you know, obviously a lot of Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen ties, but I've met so many cool bands, including you guys, and there's a lot of talented bands out there. You know, I've had them on the show, really good funk band I know, a lot of, like, good original music, a ton of good, like, heavy rock bands that we play with, a lot of, like, kind of classic rock bands. It's awesome. You know, you go see a show, go see your friends' bands, stay for the other bands, because that's how I've gotten a lot of people on this show, just like, wow, you're really good. You know, support the scene.
We even played with that one band we play in Asbury, and the guy thought we were a bunch of old farts, you know, because, you know, Sean came out, it was the summertime, he's got flip-flops on, shorts, and this one guy's looking at us, we're talking, he's like, yeah, right. Then we go out there, and we played our set. And the guy was, like, blown away. He was like, holy cow, they expect you guys to sound like that. And he thought, like, Jimmy Buffett was going to come flying ahead of the microphone.
So it was just casual, fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
it was cool because, you know, we definitely made an impression with these guys.
Awesome. That's what it's all about. I always like to ask bands this. Any advice to, like, aspiring performers, like people who want to start a band or, you know, I don't care, read poetry or, you know, get themselves on stage at an open mic or anything like that? Any words or, you know, any advice you want to give someone?
I should just get out there and play and just, you know, if you enjoy doing it, just, you know, put yourself out there and
do it.
Get yourself
hold the
heard,
trigger,
you know?
Go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And eventually the butterflies go away.
You yeah.
Know, the first 5 or 10 gigs, you're still learning how to hear the sound and play together and making sure you get the butterflies out of your system. But then once they're out, now you got work to do.
Yeah, we got under fire for that one.
Yeah.
Our third gig was the Rock Carnival opening up for
nice.
LA Guns and Lita Ford and Slaughter. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, man. That first chord with a bunch of Marshall stacks, I was like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just tell them, get out there, have fun with it. Don't quit your day job.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's awesome. Real quick, kind of riffing off what you said, Steve. Do you guys still get the butterflies a little bit? You know, I always tease Kate. She always gets real bouncy. She always, like, hops up and down, you know.
Certain songs, like.
Oh, certain songs?
That we may have trouble with. Like, there's one song that kicks my ass all the time when I play it. And that drives me crazy. But after I'm done playing that song, I'm good. I'm fine.
It's,
I know what I have to do.
That
it's
one
that one song because,
that's interesting.
You know, I drive it. You know, the bass line drives that song pretty hard. And then if I don't get it right, I know these guys are off. And then I hear the next morning, it's, oh, you were too fast. And then the whole band was fast. And you totally messed that up. But
yeah,
for the most part, the butterflies are gone away because we learned. You got to learn how to hear the sound on stage. And that was all new to us. Like, you play in the basement, it's one dynamic.
Oh.
And you go to a bar, it's totally different. And then
sound guy can make or break you.
We played the Rock Carnival. The guy's like, what do you want in your monitor? I'm like, I really don't know what to answer. I don't know what to answer. I just put some music in it. I put something in so I can hear it.
Music.
But then after a while, like, you learn what you need to hear. And then you discuss that. And it took us a good 8-10 times before we really started to get it.
Awesome. What about you guys? Excitement?
I get excited like crazy. Nice. I used, when we were in the cover band in the beginning, if I was singing a song, 3 songs before, I'm like, my knees are shaking. I hated it. Now, working with Sean, and he's helped me musically to feel much more comfortable, because I know someone's got my back with a harmony or a rhythm guitar part or something.
I get that.
The whole band, we support each other. So it's totally different than what I would expect. It's a family. And so, no, I don't really get that nervous. The only time I get nervous is setting up and flipping on that pedal board, making sure every little wire is working, yeah. and I've got a sound, then I'm good.
See, we need to get people to do that for us. We don't got to worry about
that.
That's
where a lot of butterflies are, too, is the setup, carrying
for
things
sure.
off. You don't want to piss the next band off because you're running behind. You know, so that's the type of stuff that I get nervous with. But
yeah.
Then
so
once I'm
I
on stage,
that.
I get comfortable.
I get that.
Quick.
So for May 12th, if anybody out there wants to come and tech for us, we'd love it.
Yay, they're looking for tech. Very good.
Liquid courage always helps, too. Right? You know.
Okay.
You have
got to.
That takes the edge off for me, you know.
Some pre-show rituals for sure.
Ritual, yeah.
Drew, any nerves on the drums or setting up or anything like that?
No, I'm usually relaxed.
See,
I'm mellow about it. I'm
love
relaxed,
it.
You know.
Especially when the cymbal flies off the stand.
Yeah. That was another time.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes. But that's the reason I ask is the drummers usually, again, coming from a drummer standpoint, the drummers usually say no. Like, they're usually like, no butterflies. And I say, I'm like the same way. Like, with the drums, I don't know if it's like this for you guys sometimes, but, like, I'm working. Like, I am thinking about where this is going and what the next hit's going. You know, it's just – it's like concentration more than nerves, you know.
Maybe because you're behind the kit, too. You don't have – like, you know,
it's
you're
my
behind,
office,
you have like,
man.
Exactly. Like, you have a little bit of a shield as compared to standing up there
with
a microphone stand. It may be a little bit different.
Like, I couldn't stand up and do a speech. I mean, I had to do it at a wedding. I was nervous as anything, or I stuck to the script, thank goodness. But, but if I'm behind my drum set, you know, it's a different story for sure.
So what you're saying is Kate speaks for you a lot of the times.
Oh, they keep, yeah, they keep the microphone as far away from me as possible. That's why I'm all the way in the back. Yeah, that's right. We know who the real star is. Yeah. And that's okay. Well, guys, thank you for a few minutes for coming on. Real quick, you know, like I said earlier, I'm all about the shameless plugs. We can find the CD, of course, Blacked Out.
Yeah, if you go on iTunes and type in Out of Bounds, space Blacked Out, we show up. We're on Spotify. Please follow us. Our website is outofboundsrocks.com. We're going to be launching a new website probably within the week.
Awesome.
You can get our stuff on CD Baby and come see us at the Brighton Bar and Clifton at Dingbats. And we're under management now with Synergy Entertainment. So we're going to be
Smitty.
Yeah, Smitty.
Shout out to we love Smitty.
Absolutely.
Smitty.
And he's family and he takes good care of us. And so we'll be out doing a regional tour, and those dates will be released soon.
Awesome. Really cool. And, of course, you guys are on social media. So found you guys, of course, on Facebook, Out of Bounds with the four handsome gentlemen
in
the picture.
Out of Bounds Rocks on Facebook, and we're on Instagram and Twitter.
And to get tickets for the CD release show, or just hit you guys up? Or
you can hit us up, or you can go to our website, or you can go to outofbounds.bigcartel.com, and you can buy tickets from there.
And merchandise.
And our CDs and... Absolutely.
Wow. All good stuff. I was just about to wrap it up, but there's one question I totally didn't ask you guys.
What's that?
Where did the band name come from?
Oh, that's a great one.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
I dropped the ball on that one.
An ex-member. We had when we were doing covers, we were originally a band called In Transition.
In Transition, yeah.
We were an older gentleman going into our rock thing.
But so next phase of our lives, we're right. In transition.
But
to the next
phase.
But
the problem when Bruce Jenner started changing, and In Transition had a different meaning, we figured we had to change the band name. So we threw it around for a little bit, and our female singer at the time came up with that, and we were actually a cover band under Out of Bounds, and an original band out of Bounds, running both at the same with different members. So we cut the cover band out.
Interesting. All right, good stuff, guys. All right, guys, thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks
of course,
so much.
Oh, no, guys, thanks for coming on. And, of course, check out the CD. Of course, it's Blacked Out, Out of Bounds. We got two big shows coming up. You can follow them on social media. Of course, you know, at Out of Bounds. We are out. Peace. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon.com for some great incentives, check out Patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast. I'd like to thank my newest patrons, Michael Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad LLC. Sledgepad is the revolutionary bass drum dampening system that make blankets in your bass drum a thing of the past. I love my Sledgepad and is currently being used by drummers from national acts such as Pink and Collective Soul. Use my code BobMan007 at checkout for a special discount. Check them out at sledgepad.com. Finally, don't forget to support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or give me a like on facebook.com/Bob Culture Podcast.